Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Products poll question of the day. Would you rather see Trey McBride get drafted in the first round or fall to the Broncos in the second? And again, I'm assuming the Broncos are staying in the second and won't move enough into the first to make sense of it. Joining me now, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I got a lot of things to go through with Kevin today, but we got to get your take on the poll question, Kevin. What do you think? What would you rather see? I think some Rams fans would rather see a first rounder because it's better representation. It's better for recruiting all over the country. But homers like me would like to see Trey McBride stick around and wear the blue and orange for a while.
Yeah, I think from the CSU side, you'd want first round for sure. But yeah, a lot of benefits would come if you were a Bronco. So hey, that's if either one of those happen, I think people will be pretty happy.
I'm kind of nervous, though, Kevin. I believe Trey's a first rounder, but Mel Kiper saying that, you know, a couple of mock drafts. How many mock drafts does one guy get, by the way?
Right.
He said one mock draft, he has Trey McBride falling to the Broncos in the second at, what, 64 or whatever. I'm a little worried about my prediction there because I'm very far off from a guy that does this for a living.
Yeah, I think he's going to, you know, if I had to pick, I'm not a mock draft expert, but I think Trey's probably a second rounder is kind of my guess.
Is that more or less because of you look at the need? Tight ends are hard. It's hard to take a tight end in the first round, and not everybody's going to turn out to be a Travis Kelce type guy. So is that more or less the position itself? But you would say, hey, he's first round talent.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you have – There's always a run on offensive linemen because everyone needs those. There's always a quarterback run, so I would expect that'll happen. Obviously, there are always receivers, so you know, right there, you're talking a lot of spaces being taken up by a three position group. So I think that is a part of it. And you know, Trey obviously is a really, really good player and will do good things, but you know, he doesn't quite measure out like you know Pitts did last year, for instance.
Sure.
Which, you know, is why I think he's probably in the, you know, top 50 range, but maybe not top 30.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, you look at Kyle Pitts, and I mean, he was like a second round fantasy draft pick for me. And Kevin, I know you wanted to know that information today. That's how good of a tight end. I think everybody thought he was like this once in a lifetime type player. And not saying Trey won't be that guy, but yeah, Pitts was up there. Kevin, I want to switch gears with you. Talk to us a little bit about, Mr. Blumhardt's article about, you know, CSU using the sale of Hughes Stadium land to fund football coach buyouts. Even Norvell's kind of involved in this. I want to talk about the specifics of that, but also just it's kind of depressing to look at all the millions being paid out to former coaches.
Yeah, it's a lot of money going out. You know, I guess the good thing for CSU is Steve Adazio has, found employment elsewhere. So he's going to make roughly $500K a year or this year. So if he, you know, let's say he makes that for 3 years, which is how much is, you know, left on the buyout, that would cut into, you know, that would cut a million and a half total out. So that helps. But yeah, it's a lot of money. This is why, you know, we talked a lot. You have to get these decisions right because they're really expensive decisions. And they got that one, you know, really, really wrong. And it's still costing them. You know, I think they did get the right one with Norvell. But that doesn't just erase what happened previously because it's expensive.
Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, it's very interesting, though. What's your take on this, you know, using the money from that to pay off some of these coaches and kind of the details there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Jay Norvell is paying like $1.3 million of his roughly $2 million to Nevada, which isn't as, I guess, shocking or big a deal as it sounds. You know, Jim McElwain kind of the same when he left. He paid CSU some of his own money, and the school will pay it back over time. So it's kind of just a loan, really. And yeah, how CSU is using the money, I guess you can argue different things. I mean, they're using some pots that aren't taxpayer money, which I think some people like. Some taxpayers wouldn't be really happy about funding coach buyouts, but then obviously there are some other people that aren't thrilled that the Hughes money is going in that direction. And so that's why it gets messy. And again, that's kind of all circles back to this, why, you want to get these decisions right. Because if you do, then these conversations don't even happen. You don't have people, you don't have anyone upset or anything because it's not even happening. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously there's a lot of money moving, kind of different pots and stuff. And I'm not sure every person would probably have a different answer as to what the, quote unquote, right way to do it would be.
Yeah, that's interesting for sure. Gets us talking. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And we'll jump right over to the basketball side of things with you, Kevin. Kendall Moore changes his game plan. He's now going to enter the transfer portal, leaving Colorado State's program. And it does have Rams fans talking. We're kind of sitting and waiting to see what's going to happen for David Roddy. You see Deshaun Thomas heading over to the Big Sky Conference in Montana. And then Kendall Moore here. And again, I know last year wasn't his best year in the world, but still a starter, still a big portion here to this team. What's your takeaway here, Kevin? I mean, I know you and Tanner talked about it, and you're kind of saying, hey, don't really stress about it. But after a couple of days to sit back and think about this thing, what's your thoughts on the Rams basketball program today?
Yeah, definitely a little strange to see that decision, 2 weeks ago, say he's coming back and then change his mind. And yeah, he's a good player, did great things for the program, but, this is what college basketball is right now. I had someone saying, oh my gosh, the whole roster's left. It's like, no, CSU is kind of in the, almost really just the middle range of roster turnover. They're far from close to, the top of turnover. If you look around college basketball, this is just kind of what it is these days. And the fact that CSU, they did officially announce Jack Payne signing yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's a kid from Boise, he's been committed, so it's kind of just semantics. He was always coming. But I wouldn't worry that you don't have more names. There's no reason to rush. One, you're in the middle of a semester, so it's not like anyone can join you right now. Two, there are names, as we saw with Moore, there are people entering the portal now, so there's more and more talent going in, so you can keep tracking it, keep working to find it. And this staff works really hard to find players who will fit the program, from a, every way, not just playing. We saw that with Chandler Jacobs. Not only was he a very good player, but he was just a perfect fit. I mean, just a great guy. So they try and make sure they don't get knuckleheads, and that takes some time. You have to call a lot of people because everyone sounds good on the phone when you're when they're trying to get a scholarship offer, but that doesn't necessarily mean they will actually do that when they're in the program. So yeah, I think things will be fine. I think the staff has proven that. This is just kind of, especially after a few years of stability, I think it just has fans, kind of angsty. But yeah. I think they'll all end up fine. And, if David Roddy comes back, I still expect this team will be, probably better than it was last year.
Well, and the two guys specifically, and Deshaun Thomas and Kendall Moore, and again, not taking anything away from those guys, but to me, Kevin, I almost wonder if those conversations maybe were with both players about, okay, we want you back, but just so you know, I mean, Tad Boyle used to always tell me, hey, anytime I got a guy, I'm telling him immediately, hey, just so you know, I'm working to replace you as soon as you sign. So is there a situation there where maybe the coaches are like, guys, we will love you, want to see you flourish with this program, but just so you know, these are some areas that we want to get better in, and we are going to look to fill those spots, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's always part of it. I mean, Deshaun Thomas saw his minutes drop kind of later in the year, and he wanted more minutes, but those, CSU was going to bring in a big, and they still will. And so that would be competition. CSU is going to bring in a guard, so that would be competition for Kendall Moore. And yeah, you nailed it there. Every coach's job is to recruit a class, and then the next class recruit players better than them. That's basically what the job is. So yeah, there's some know that their role will change and want to go find a different spot.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, tell us more about Jack Payne. I actually got his highlights pulled up today. I'm watching him. And again, highlights. They're always the good stuff. They're never going to show you the bad stuff. But tell us about what kind of player he is that the Rams are getting, and how much of an impact can he make and win?
Yeah, Jack is an interesting guy. He changed schools last year, went to a new high school. That team went and won the state title. He was a player of the year by the local paper. He kind of grew a lot in high school. He's up to 6'6" now, I think. I've heard him described as, he has some Pierce Hornung in him, with more playmaking ability. So I think time will tell on if he's an immediate impact guy or if it might take some time. But yeah, he looks like a good athlete, hard nose, has a little, a decent shot, good vision, can defend multiple positions. So yeah, the staff has been excited about them. I've had some conversations with them, over the last few months, as he was committed, and I think they're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Just kind of, again, looking at the highlights, all the good stuff there for sure. Any last notes that you can give us, Kevin, your thoughts on the football side of things, getting out to practice this week, what you saw last week? And I know we've been talking about Clay Millen quite a bit and some of those amazing, you had some amazing photos. What else can you tell us about the last couple of days for football?
Yeah, I'm just excited. Another scrimmage come up Saturday to continue seeing, how this offense operates live and see some defense. I thought we saw some good signs from the defense on last Saturday's scrimmage. So yeah, I mean, we're obviously still far from the finished product, but you're starting to see formations of, what this team is going to look like in the fall.
Yeah, well, I'm ready for it. Kevin, my man, always appreciate you, and hope to see you next week. I wasn't able to make it out this week, but hope to get out there on Tuesday.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right, my man. There he is, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And guess what? I have a pair of tickets again for tomorrow night's game. We gave away tickets last night for Rocky, or for tonight, for Rocky Chicago, and they are two seats, best seats in the house, club level, right behind home plate. How about that? I got another pair, courtesy of Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, pair of tickets to give away for tomorrow night. We already hooked you up for tonight. I got a pair for Friday night. Friday night, 6:40. You and somebody else are going to be having a blast at Coors Field. The best seats in the house, club level, right behind home plate. Again, thanks to our dear friends, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. I'm going to go caller number... Let's see. I'm going to go caller number 18. So stay, stay on the line. You might get through, whatever. Caller 18. You're going to have to work today. 970-353-1310. Or toll free 877-353-1310. Caller 18. I got a pair of tickets, club level, right behind home plate. Rockies, Cubs, tomorrow night, Friday night, 6:40. Be caller 18, 353-1310, 17 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Let's talk about the, Golden State Warriors, Denver Nuggets. Is Steph Curry back? What's that looking like? He practiced. And then we'll talk about Jamal Murray, too. What's Michael Malone have to say about the Blue Arrow? We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. I was over at Weldworks last night. We had a kind of a Greeley mixer deal, a networking event, and I'm part of it. And, of course, I always suggest our places, and why not suggest Weldworks? And now they got the annex there so you can eat. That place was absolutely bumping. I mean, I had a meeting early before it started, and it was full then. People are always going to this place. Michael Malone talks about Weldworks all the time. I know for a fact Michael Malone took a tour of Weldworks last summer. Loves that brewery. Maybe it's his favorite. I was joking around with a couple of the guys that worked there. And they're like, dude, we don't pay him to say any of that stuff. He just loves Weldworks. Seriously, we don't send him beer or anything. Of course, Michael Malone, last time after the Grizzlies game, in the post game, said, you know what, if you can't enjoy this game, if you can't enjoy the little victories, then maybe I'll just retire and go work at Weldworks. I do think somebody said after that we sent him job openings at Weldworks. That was cool. Hey, man, you know, I know they did a Probst. How do you say that? Malone. That was the beer they did a couple of seasons ago, right around COVID, when Coach said he was going to drive up to Weldworks once the NBA shut down. And so they did a beer. Maybe they'll do another one. Maybe they'll do another one. Maybe you call it enjoying the small things or enjoying the small victories. I have no idea. I'm not a beer marketer, Jaden. Okay, I tried. I tried once, all right? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Is Jamal coming back? Like, what are we doing here? What's happening? You got to be very careful here. You know, we talked about Juwan James on Monday a little bit, about how different of a situation this is. Juwan James, right tackle for the Broncos a couple of years ago. Vic Fangio was pretty open to discussing him. Like, well, he's cleared by the doctor, so I guess they just got to get him his head right or something. But kind of sloughing it off like, I don't know, if you're medically cleared, you should be able to play. Now, with Murray, it's kind of, hey, he's medically cleared, but that's up to him. Got to get over that mental hurdle. There's zero pressure from me. He's going to come back when he's ready. Do you wonder, though, if there's frustration there? Because you have and listen, Joker's probably going to be a great player for a long, long time. I'm not worried about that necessarily, but you do wonder if this is going to be his best, if this is the best he's ever going to be. Could it be? I mean, this was a damn good year by the Joker. Obviously, you know, front runner to get that MVP, I think it's going to happen to do it again. But you look at this, and there's a part of me that wonders, okay, are we going to look back in 5 years and go, man, that 2021 season was the best that Joker ever had? I look at guys like Steve Nash. You know, several years before he retired, you go back, and he had that two-year stint where he won the MVP. I think it was like 2002 or 2003. He won it 2 years in a row. And then he never won it again. And that was those were his best years, and he was still pretty good, obviously, following that, but you know, you go back and you look at windows. You can look at all the MVPs right now. Go look at a list of NBA MVPs, and a lot of times that's your window. If you're a Golden State person, you look and go, all right, Steph's healthy, kind of coming back, we're going to see, but we had a prime window back in the day, and Klay Thompson got hurt kind of at the end of that window closing. And again, it might still be there. They could still very well be a dynasty. I'll be curious to see what the future looks like for Golden State after this season with, like, Draymond Green. But if you're, you know, you look at this and you say, okay, Jamal's cleared to play, you got a first seed or a third seed opportunity here to upset a third seed in Golden State, and I think they can, honestly, with or without Jamal. I don't know about the Memphis series though, if that's what happens, but you've got an opportunity here to do something, you know, even again more special. Hey, I don't think anybody's getting past Phoenix this year. But if you have a healthy Jamal, maybe. And again, according to the doctors, Jamal's healthy. I am doing my best to not question. I don't want to question athletes. I've never played at that level. I've never been hurt at that, you know, with that much severity as far as the torn ACL. So I think a lot of us talking heads got to be very careful here. It's easy to say, come on. But I understand the frustration because I'm frustrated too. But I still do believe it's got to be Jamal's decision, and I'm not going to call him out for being this or that or the other thing for not coming back. But you might turn around someday and go, wow, that 2021 year going into 2022, Joker's second MVP year, when he scored 2,000 and 1,000 boards and 500 assists, was that the best that it's ever going to be? Was that the best Joker was ever going to be? And we, I don't want to say squandered it, but didn't live up to his full potential, to the team's full potential, because you didn't have the team's full potential. Injuries happen. We get that. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, can he make a comeback? Is he going to come back? Here's what Michael Malone said last night. He said, I would lean more towards him being doubtful at this time. But I haven't closed that door. We'll see how this series goes against Golden State, and how Jamal feels. But zero pressure from me to Jamal. He's going to come back when he's ready. Tim Conley, 2 days ago, said he was in the red zone of his rehabilitation. Jeff Green was talking about Jamal yesterday after practice and said, I'd be very excited if he came back. He's a tremendous talent. I'm pretty sure he would help us no matter how many minutes he plays. Given what he can do for us on the court, he's going to be a threat. I don't know if he's, I mean, I still, like I said yesterday, I feel like he might go in this series, and maybe I'm not going to be that shocked if he does play on Saturday. You're given a lot of time here. Meanwhile, Steph Curry's probably going to play. Nikola Jokic was asked about Steph Curry, and he said, yeah, he's going to play for sure. I'm counting on him playing. Malone said, I'm assuming he'll play. I think he's going to scrimmage. If that goes well, he'll be available. We're preparing as if he's a go. Which is going to be interesting. We talked about Facu Campazzo. Maybe he can make his presence known in this series while he got suspended for game one. So things aren't, and I'm not saying Facu was like going to be a difference maker one way or the other, but you do want some feisty defensive guards against the Warriors. And you're not going to have them for game one. So things are kind of interesting for both teams heading into this game one. A lot of uncertainty. And I just think that if Jamal's a go, I mean, even a coming off an injury, Jamal is a guy that could probably get you 12, right? I mean, he instantly becomes your second best player. I don't expect him to come out and get 25. There will be zero expectations for him. But the idea that he's in the lineup might be a mental boost, too. I could totally see him going into warm-ups on Saturday. Warming up with this team and then, grab some bench. Just some mind games there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, Facu Campazzo's out for game one. Nuggets reserve point guard Facu Campazzo has been suspended for game one against the Warriors, according to the NBA. The suspension is from his forceful shove of the Lakers Wayne Ellington from behind in the second quarter. I didn't think it was as bad as Joker's shove, but whatever. Ellington was fined $20,000 for escalating the incident with a threatening comment on social media. I don't know if you heard that, but he said, When I see you, I'm putting my hands on you, at Facu Campazzo. Well, I mean, he was right there, bro. He was right there. And he was in the same facility as you at the end of the game, too. Malone did say that Facu sent him a message the other day apologizing for what happened in the Lakers game. Interesting there. I don't know if Facu was going to be a difference maker, but you know, against Golden State, you want guards that can annoy shooters, get them off their rhythm. He's one of those guys. He might have been utilized in this thing. So that, I don't know, that could be a bigger loss than you think. I feel like, yeah, because we had a texture yesterday. I think it was Holyoke who was texting in and saying, hey, could Facu come up big in this series? Not, I'm not saying big like points-wise, but rattling some cages. Yeah, I saw Marcus Howard last year rattled Damian Lillard's cage, and that set up the series win for the Nuggets ultimately, because it's like, okay, we can guard him. We got to get after him at half court. We got to annoy the crap out of him. We got to be all over him. And then suddenly it was like, wow, we can do this. Let's go do it. And Aaron Gordon started shutting him down. That was the difference maker last year. Could Facu have been a guy like that? That's more of a difference maker. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Check out the GOAT, located near Center Place of Greeley. This sports bar is awesome, folks. It's a high-energy local bar, great area, great environment, 360-degree bar top, patio seating, 36 HD TVs to watch your favorite team play. That's the GOAT. Try the Wisconsin cheese curds. They are absolutely delicious. All right, 33 minutes after the hour, the Avs get another miraculous win. It's pretty breathtaking what they're able to do. Should the Avalanche be worried about the President's Trophy curse? The President's Trophy winner hasn't won the Cup since back when the Blackhawks did it in 2013. Should the Avs be a little bit worried about it? We'll talk about it next. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Wow, what a game last night, though. You know me, I'm not the biggest Avalanche guy. I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world. But you tend to step aside and put all that away when you're just seeing absolute greatness. It's like golf and Tiger Woods. You might not be the biggest golfer in the world, but you're definitely interested in how Tiger Woods is doing. You have greatness happening here for the Avalanche. It's been absolutely insane. And of course, Nathan MacKinnon, what a huge part in that game last night. Avs win 9-3. I mean, I've seen Broncos games where they don't score more than 9 points, man. Avs win 9-3. You get Nathan MacKinnon doing Nathan MacKinnon things with the hat trick.
42 left on the power play. It's been all zone time for Colorado. McCarr, MacKinnon, score! Kopitar can't quite find the handle. McCarr finds MacKinnon. He's in alone. Scores! Chicago, Seattle, and Vancouver. Finish it off. Burakovsky, MacKinnon. He scores! It's a Nathan MacKinnon hat trick.
Nathan MacKinnon with 3 goals, 2 assists, and just an overall dominant performance by the Avs. They 4-0 after the first. And Kings kind of made it interesting, I suppose. But then 3 more goals in the third for the Avs. It was the Avs have won their 7th straight. They're 53-14-6. That's better than what they did in 13-14 and the 2001 year with the most victories. They're 2 points ahead of Florida for the best record in the NHL and are a franchise best at home. I mean, are you going to be absolutely let down, disappointed, if they don't do anything but hoist the Stanley Cup? And now you got, you know, the President's Trophy. Are you worried about that? Hockey feels like curses are real. You know, there's a lot of hockey fans that'll tell you it's kind of real. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. Denver hockey's really good, though. I mean, the Pioneers, they won the Frozen Four in Boston to bring home their 9th championship in school history. So hockey, it just feels like everything is beautiful right now in the world of hockey. It's becoming a hockey town. The Avs have certainly had, I've always said this, the Avs have no problem selling out when they're solid. There's enough diehard hockey fans. But now when you're good, when you're really good, you know what that does? You do grab the casual fans. And I'll tell you what, man, the expectations are through the roof. It's been building. I think the expectations were there last year. But they won the President's Trophy last year, too. Now look at this. The President's Trophy winner hasn't won the Cup since the Blackhawks did it in 2013. The Red Wings did it in 2008 and 2002. The Avs actually did it as well in 2001. I was reading in the Denver Post this morning, though, some of the bigger concerns outlined in a couple of different articles. Is, all right, yeah, President's Trophy, we can talk about that until we're blue in the face if you believe in that kind of thing. But the biggest curse or biggest thing the Avs should be worried about is Game 7s. They've lost their last 5 in those Game 7s. So that's what I'd be worried about. Do not let it get to a Game 7, home or away. The Avs have struggled there. What a special team, though. I mean, you're just seeing something that you're just not used to seeing as far as this amount of greatness. Look at all those wins just piling up. And, you know, they have been at the top of the standings for so long, and they just are running away. I mean, just in their central division, man, 112 points to 96. Nobody's touching them in their own division, and now they're on their way to having the best record in hockey. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I do think no matter what sport you're in, the Avs have been so dominant this season that I think that your expectations are through the roof. Should they be? It's hockey, after all. Eighth seeds can beat one seeds, and it's not that big of a shock. If it happens in the NBA, it's like, whoa, what happened here? That only happened like a couple of times. In hockey, it's a fairly common thing. Hockey is so much of a more difficult sport. Even if you're a great team getting into the playoffs, it is all about, the flow of what your goalie is able to do as well. It's kind of like pitcher in baseball. You could be playing the best hockey of your career, but if your goalie's not on it, then there's upsets. Upsets are going to happen. That's why it's a very unique game. It's why baseball's a unique game in that sense. You got to have the right stuff from your starting pitching, from your bullpen. In hockey, very much so. You could be doing the best you've ever done. You could be doing better than what you did in the regular season. But if your goalkeeper is not up to snuff, you're going to be prone to an upset. I think they have to take the next step. And that's, they got to get to the Western Conference Finals, right? They have to get there. I truly believe that's the next step. Is there disappointment, though, if they don't? I mean, Stanley Cup, yeah, most people say you got to win the Cup. Got to find a way to do it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. A shout out to No Limit Collectibles. You want Avs stuff? They got Avs memorabilia over there as well. Nuggets, Broncos, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. You can buy, you can sell, you can trade. I've sold a few things. I've sold some Jordan cards there. They're located right next to Cables. And that place is really cool now because you got Cables, a great restaurant. I get my hair cut there now, right by Cables. And then you have No Limit Collectibles. I mean, they have everything in that little square. Stop by No Limit Collectibles. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Would you rather see Trey McBride get drafted in the first round or fall to the Broncos in the second? Well, for CSU, again, they're going to want Trey McBride to go in the first round. Local's great and everything, but for recruits, you want to go in the first round because you want five stars eventually coming to CSU going, wow. You can go to CSU, tear it up, and be a first rounder. All right, I'm in. So you should probably be rooting for that if you're a diehard Rams fan. If you're kind of a middle, Rams and Broncos fan, yeah, you're probably going there. But 75% say go in the first round. 47 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. What's on tonight? We continue with play-in game action. We got a lot of baseball on KFKA tonight as well, so you're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 8 minutes until the 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock hour. We got Rocky's Rundown coming up with Jerry Schimmel and Tanner Schwentz. Yeah, Jerry's the voice of the Rockies again, but he's still doing some great things with us here at the station. So looking forward to that program. And they're getting Bud Black on the program. They're getting Bud Black to jump on the Rundown, talking all things Rockies and this hot start for the Rocks. So you do not want to miss that, Hooligans. All right, stay tuned. After 2 o'clock, Rockies Rundown, Jerry Schimmel, Tanner Schwentz, going to be joined by none other than Rockies manager, Bud Black. Busy day of baseball today. So we got Rockies Rundown starting at 2 o'clock. We'll jump into, of course, the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. And we have local baseball. We got high school baseball tonight. Resurrection Christian taking on Eaton, 4 o'clock tonight or this afternoon. Clark Johnson will be on the call. And then we'll carry, right after that game, we'll jump over to Cubs at Rockies. See if the Rocks can start. It's a four-game series against the Cubs. So we're looking forward to that one. A busy night on KFKA. Busy night on TV as well. You got the Avs going at it tonight. I think that is a 7 o'clock game going up against New Jersey. See if they could just keep rocking and rolling, keep that motivation going. And it's not like they need anything, any kind of motivation. They just keep finding ways to win big games. Last night was monster. No NBA games tonight, so actually the rest of the play-in games will be tomorrow. Atlanta taking on Cleveland Friday night, 5:30. And then you got New Orleans and the Clippers. The losers of those two games are done. So we'll get to the official playoffs on Saturday, where, of course, we know Denver's taking on the Golden State Warriors. Still doesn't sound like we're going to see a Jamal Murray. Does sound like we're going to see a Steph Curry with his foot coming back from that foot injury, set to return to team practice. He is going to scrimmage today with the team. So I would imagine he's going to be there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. On Friday's show, we're going to have a lot of fun, man. We're going to get into our new segment, the Hype House. We're going to get pumped up. We're going to get ready to rock and roll for Nuggets, Golden State Warriors, Game 1 on Saturday night. We'll get you ready for that one. It's going to be big. We'll hit our weekend review. A lot of Rocky stuff. A lot of great Rocky stuff so far. You know, we're a week in. And, hey, this is about right, though. This is about where we typically are for the Rockies. A weekend, you're feeling pretty good. April's a great month for the Rocks. Some tests are coming up, though. Early tests, including this four-game series against the Cubs. And, again, you can hear that right here. All four games you're going to be able to hear right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We got Rockies Rundown coming up next. Again, Jerry Schimmel, Tanner Schwint, Bud Black, joining the program. You're not going to want to miss it. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.